Good evening. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Isaiah chapter 56. We're going to begin looking at this chapter 56 here. And the Lord is speaking. He's sending His word to a people who have no acceptance under the covenant of works, under that law which was given to the people by Moses. They have no acceptance with God under that covenant. They won't be received by Him. Instead, what we see is that they are gathered together under the covenant of grace. They're called to enter into the Sabbath rest, the Lord's Sabbath rest. That is, that they would rest from all their labors. They would rest from all their labors trying to earn satisfaction with God. And instead, they would rest in Him whom God has sent, whom God has provided to give the people rest, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I've titled the message, Rest in Christ. So let's look at verses 1 and 2. Our Lord says, Thus saith the Lord, Keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the Son of Man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Now these are words which can only be received in faith. These are words which only can be heard and received by faith. When these words were spoken, historically speaking, they were spoken to a people under that old covenant dispensation of the law. They were spoken to a people under the law at that time. And the covenant of works, the law which was given, that ruled out many Gentiles. It ruled out all Gentiles as Gentiles from being included in the assembly of the Lord's people. And here, those that were left out, that were outcast, that had no opportunity of entering the congregation, is described in verse 3 as the son of the stranger and the eunuch. The son of the stranger and the eunuch. Turn over to Deuteronomy 23. Let's see this. Deuteronomy 23, and we're going to read verses 1 through 3. These first two descriptions are a description of a eunuch. And it's described as he that is wounded in the stones, or hath his privy member cut off. That's a eunuch. He shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. A bastard, someone who doesn't know who his father is, a bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to his tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. So under the law, these were forbidden to enter into the congregation of the Lord's people. They were cut off from it. And yet, back in our text, we read these very gracious, very glorious words, which encourages those that were cast out from Israel's congregation under the law to have hope, to hear God's word bringing them in to His congregation under a new covenant. Verse 3 says, Neither Let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, The Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, Behold, I am a dry tree. So first, the son of the stranger and the eunuch, these are typical of every sinner. They're typical of every sinner. And this means all whom the law cannot save. Everyone whom the law cannot save. And just to be clear, the law saves no one. No one can be saved by the works of the law, because we're all sinners. None can keep the law of God perfectly and come to God in their own righteousness and be accepted by God, be received by Him, because we are sinners. We've offended God and broken God's holy law, and we are corrupt, defiled, spiritually dead people. All of us, every one of us. Not even the Jews could be saved by the law through the ordinances or the practices of the law, that which was prescribed by Moses in the law to worship God. No one could be saved by them, not even the Jews, because the law was a shadow of things to come. It was a shadow of things to come. It's not the very substance of that, of him who is to come. Right? You don't sit yourself down and rest yourself on the shadow of a chair. You have to rest in the chair itself. The shadow's not going to hold you up. The shadow provides no rest for you. The chair itself is your rest. Well, turn to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, and when you get there, put a marker, because we're going to go to another scripture and then come back to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 1 and 2. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. The law can never make those coming in the law perfect. For then, if it did, would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins? They would have believed in God and trusted that their sins were put away, that God was propitiated through their works in the law, that his wrath was appeased against them, that it was put away, and so they wouldn't have offered more sacrifices, because it would have, their conscience would have, they would have known in their conscience that God was satisfied. The reason why believers in Christ, we rest in Christ, because we don't continue looking beyond him. There's nothing more for us to do. We trust that Christ has put away all our sins. We're aware of them, but we're not looking for. Our conscience isn't screaming out saying, find something, give me something to soothe the fear of wrath that I know is coming upon me. No, we don't have that anymore in Christ, because Christ's blood is sufficient. And God has given that to us, that hope and comfort and peace in our hearts through the blood of Christ, by his Spirit. See that? So there's no more conscience for sin like it was with those in the law. So the law, first we see the law is a shadow. It's a savor of the peace that we have with God in Jesus Christ. It's looking to Christ. It shows us pictures, beautiful pictures of what Christ has accomplished for his people. That's one thing we see with the law, points to Christ. Now, holding a marker in Hebrews 10, go to Romans 3. Here, we see the law's other purpose. Romans 3, 19 and 20. Paul writes, Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. Right? Not you who are not under the law, but those who are under the law. That every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. The law brings us into guilt before God. It shows us the exceeding sinfulness of sin. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in God's sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law shows us just how evil and corrupt we are, how far short of God's glory we fall. The law makes that known to a man who is otherwise ignorant of the holiness of God. It shows a person that. So the law can save no one by the practice of the ordinances and the keeping of the law. Now God tells us through the Apostle Paul that by the deeds of the law there shall be no flesh justified in God's sight. That's not how we're justified. So, the son of the stranger and the eunuch, they are typical of every sinner, Jew and Gentile. We're all eunuchs by nature. We're all strangers by nature from God. So our passage here is speaking of another covenant. It's speaking of the covenant of grace established in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go back to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, this time go to verse 14. And let's read down through to verse 18. Through verse 18. For by one offering, Christ hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, set apart by God's choosing in election before the foundation of the world. We've been set apart to this salvation and have been sought out by the Spirit of God, separated unto this work of God's grace to be brought to a knowledge of it through the life of Christ being wrought in us by the Holy Spirit. Verse 15, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Because Christ is our propitiation. He removes the wrath and anger of God against us. Now where remission or forgiveness of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Our guilt is put away. Christ has satisfied our God, and our God has made us satisfied with Christ in Christ. We believe him and trust him and rejoice in what Christ has done. So in our Lord, we cease from our labors, trying to justify ourselves and trying to sanctify ourselves, because Christ is made unto us righteousness. He's our justification, and he's made unto us sanctification, as well as our wisdom, as well as our redemption, our purchase by his blood. And so in Isaiah 56, verses 1 and 2, these words, they speak of the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ, who fulfilled all the law in order to establish for us the covenant of grace whereby our God receives us and speaks peaceably to us. And it speaks here in these verses of a people who lay hold of Christ by the grace and power of God and his righteousness by faith through the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's all wrought in us by our God, by his grace and grace. So verse 1, thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice. For my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. So when he says keep ye judgment, he's speaking of doing that which is right, doing equity or righteousness. And do justice, he says. Well, we know that all our righteousnesses are filthy rags. We know that the works that this flesh does and this flesh tries to produce amounts to a heaping pile of filthy rags that God is not pleased with. And so this speaks not of our righteousness, but the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his righteousness that we trust and believe, that we come to our God in. So by his grace, we follow our Lord's command. We follow him. We look to him for all things. And his instruction to us, in terms of doing what is right to others, we know is Matthew 7:12, for example. Therefore, he said, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. And we'll soon see that the law and the prophets testify of Christ. And so he says to you and me, well, do that as you would have others do unto you. And so when you've done wrong to somebody, if you said something wrong about somebody or to them or made them feel bad or done something against them, well, and you think to yourself, well, I wish that they would have had some patience with me. I wish that they would have given me an opportunity to make it right and that it wouldn't have gone the way that it went. Well, in that same way that you would, that others would do to you, you show that same grace to them. That's what the Lord is saying when he speaks of doing that which is right in terms of what we do. It's not for our justification, but we're not looking to hurt or harm anyone, but to glorify our God and to praise his name. And so by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we walk by faith in the new man, trusting him, showing grace to others, even as our God has shown grace to us. We looked at this a few months back, but in Ephesians 4:29, it said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And how do we minister grace unto others? We're simply blessed by the Lord in how gracious he is to us, and by our words and deeds, we show and display that same grace that he's shown to us in the hopes that they too would hear the voice of him who speaks graciously, peaceably to his people, and that he would call others out of darkness into his glorious light. So that's how we minister grace unto others. Now he says, my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. It's revealed because it's a work already accomplished in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's speaking of the mystery of the gospel revealed in Christ crucified and what he's accomplished for his people. The will and purpose of God that he would be gracious to you who now trust him and believe on him. It's revealed as a work which is already accomplished because our Lord is called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. We're told that the works were finished in Hebrews 4:3, from the foundation of the world. And so this revelation of God's righteousness is the declaration of Christ who has justified his people by the death of himself. Our Lord then is perfectly described in verse 2. Look at verse 2. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the Son of Man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he is the blessed man. He's the blessed man. He's the one who came in the flesh, doing the will of God perfectly. He laid hold on righteousness. He fulfilled all the law of God perfectly. He kept the Sabbath. He did not pollute it. His hand did only that which is good and right. When he was here, he fulfilled the law of God perfectly because he himself is perfect, righteous, just in all his ways. Turn over to Psalm 1. Go to Psalm 1, and we're going to look at the first three verses there. Psalm 1:1 says, blessed is the man Blessed is the man. Christ is the blessed man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That is because with Christ, there's no agreement between our Lord and dead religion. He doesn't speak their language. He doesn't talk like them. He doesn't walk in darkness. He doesn't speak falsehood and lies. He speaks the truth. He glorifies God in the hearts of his people. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He delights to do the will of God. It says in Psalm 40, verse 8, just stay there with me in Psalm 1, but it says in Psalm 40, I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. That's speaking of Christ. And when the Hebrew writer, in Hebrews 10, when he was, right, he says there in, verse 7, well, verse 9 speaks of what Christ came to do, thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second covenant, by which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And it says in verse 7, in that same context, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. The volume of the book means from the very beginning of the book, it's written of the Lord Jesus Christ. All this word speaks of our Lord Jesus Christ. And back in Psalm 1, verse 3, it says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in a season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the tree of life. He's the tree of life spoken of in the Garden of Eden. He's the one who gives life to his people, health, strength, and sustains his people. It's all of him that we have eternal life. And he prospered in that work that the Father sent him to accomplish. So all the scriptures speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's everything, everything that a sinner needs. He's everything that you need to come to God. He's provided it all in himself. He fulfilled the law. He put away our sin by the death of himself. And having died, being made a sacrifice unto God to atone for our sins, they took his lifeless body, they buried him in the tomb, and he, by the power of God, rose again the third day. And then he ascended and now to heaven, and now sits in session at the right hand of the throne of God, ruling and reigning, implementing the will of God in all things, because the Father hath committed all things to the hands of the Son as the Christ mediator between God and men. Everything is in his hands. Everything is accomplished successfully in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the law, the prophets, and the Psalms, they all speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Do unto others, because this is the law and the prophets. We look to the Lord Jesus Christ, by whose grace and power, by in the new man in us, he teaches us and instructs us and causes us to walk following after him. And he said, whosoever cometh after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, while Christ, when he was speaking with Moses and Elijah on the mount, what's that picture? He was speaking with the law and the prophets, Moses and Elijah. We're told that there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. Hear him. Don't keep looking back to the law for your instruction. Christ will tell you everything you need to hear. He'll instruct you and direct you. Don't keep looking to the prophets to know what to do. They speak of Christ. When you read the prophets, when you read the law, it's all speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philip said to Nathanael, we found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Peter, when speaking to Cornelius, said to him, give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. We're not just good religionists. I believe the Bible. If you believe the Bible, you believe Christ. You look to him. You trust him because that's who the Bible speaks of. It writes of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 13:38-39. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Not the law for the forgiveness of sins. Not the study of the prophets for the forgiveness of sins. Not for the ordinances and the practices for the forgiveness of sins. Through this man, Jesus Christ, whom God hath sent. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. You know, Paul could say in Acts 24:14, when he was speaking to the Jews, he says, I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. He could say that because it all speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I believe all things that they wrote, because it all points to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want more, there's Luke 24. Luke 24, when the Lord came to, after he rose from the dead, says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he, Christ, expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And then in verse 44, he said, this is what I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. You have an understanding of the scriptures when you see Christ in the scriptures. It's because the Spirit has opened your understanding and shown you exactly what the scriptures are declaring, of whom they write. They write of Christ. And then it says in verse 47 there, Luke 24:47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Jew and Gentile all need to hear the same word, because all are saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 48 says, and ye are witnesses of these things. That's what the church is gathered together to do, to be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's everything that a sinner needs to come before God and stand before him whole and accepted of God. It's all in the Lord Jesus Christ. So flee to the Lord. He says, my righteousness, back in Isaiah 56:1, he said, my salvation is near to come and my righteousness to be revealed. And then what do we read in Romans 3:21? But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. It's revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So flee to him. He is the rest whom God has provided for every outcast sinner who has no place before God and his congregation under the law of works. But in Christ, we are received and brought into the fellowship and family, beloved family of God, all by Christ for his sake. Flee to the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who had no place in the law, he has an inheritance given to him freely, graciously by the Lord through Christ. He says in Isaiah 56:3-4, neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths, and choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant, that new covenant established in the blood of Christ. Now, like the eunuch, in our flesh, we bear no fruit. We bear no fruit of righteousness unto our God by this flesh. But in Christ, we are made fruitful. We believe God. We trust Him. We rest in the Sabbath rest, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we'll soon see. But it's because our God gives us spiritual life. He's because of the work of Christ who put away our sin. God sends His Spirit graciously under the covenant of grace, sends His Spirit who separates us unto this work of God and bears fruit, gives us life, washes us in the blood of Christ, regenerates us, making us alive spiritually unto our God to know these things, to understand this great mystery, which was hidden before, but is now made known in the face of Jesus Christ through the preaching of the gospel. So in that new man of Christ's creation, that's where we bear fruits of righteousness by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. So turn over to Romans 7. Let's look at Romans 7 and go to verse 4. And we're going to read down through verse 7. Romans 7:4, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law, you're dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, under the ministration of death, under the law, the old covenant, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Is this fruit unto death? It did nothing for us in recommending us to God. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So the believer is no longer under the old covenant. We've been translated out of that kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our King. We are received of God under this covenant of grace, established in Christ's blood. And that's where Christ has made all things to us. Why we rejoice in Him. Why we speak of Him, why we glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, adding these blessings from our text, adding to these, let's look at verses 5 and 6 back in our text. Isaiah 56. Even unto them, to the stranger and the eunuch, will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve Him and to love the name of the Lord to be His servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offering and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people, Jew and Gentile, so that we now, in this new covenant, being brought under the blood of Christ, we're marked with His blood. We're given His name. We are His people, the people of the Lord. We're His congregation, gathered together under Him. He's our shepherd. We are the people of God under the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where all the people of God are gathered, under Christ. All right, now, in verses 2, 4, and 6, you notice that there's a word there, Sabbath, the Sabbath rest. And we read in verse 2 about the man that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it. In verse 4, he says, unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths. In verse 6, he speaks to everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant. So it's clear from these verses that we must keep the Sabbath. We must enter that Sabbath rest. And we shall keep it. We that are the people, the Lord's people, we shall keep it. So how do we keep the Sabbath without polluting it? How is this accomplished? It's accomplished in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Sabbath rest of his people. By Christ, through Christ, in Christ, we rest from all our labors. We keep the Sabbath without polluting it at all, by and in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't look to the oldness of the letter. That was but a shadow pointing to that sweet, acceptable savor of that God receives and is pleased with, the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't look to the shadow. We look to him who is the very substance of that which it pointed unto. We walk in him and are kept by his Spirit so that we keep that Sabbath. We rest. We're not looking for other ways of salvation. We're not looking for other works to justify ourselves and sanctify ourselves. We bring forth fruit of the seed of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so we rest in him whom the prophets and the law speak of. Christ. 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 We rest in Christ our Sabbath because he's finished the work of God that God sent him to do for his people. And being justified by his blood, by his sacrifice, we rest. We have peace with God. We're reconciled unto God by the death of his Son. As we've said recently, In Isaiah 55, where we see that reconciliation, that Christ came and put away the sin of his people, that God may be just and justifier of them which he brings to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in addition to putting away our sin, he sends the Spirit to scatter our darkness, to drive away the enmity that's in our hearts by nature, that we might be reconciled to God and have fellowship and friendship with our God, have peace with God in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so glorious. He's so glorious. Isaiah 11:10, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Glorious. Let's close with Colossians 2. Go to Colossians 2. We're going to pick up in verse 8. It's a little lengthy, but I think it'll drive home the comfort, the peace that we have in Christ, trusting in him, resting in him. Let's start in Colossians 2:8. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. I'm pointing you to Christ. Other men are pointing you to the traditions of man, causing you to look to the oldness of the letter and trust in fleshly things, the shadow of things. Not after Christ, they don't do. But that's where we're being pointed, to Christ. For in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. All things in the law are fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ in his people. You're all circumcised in the heart by the operation of the Spirit of God, by the Lord Jesus Christ. We have no confidence in the flesh, being are buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, hath he made alive, together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath. That word days isn't even there. It's of the Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. This is the rest which all the law and the prophets speak of, rest in the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God has sent. Believe him, and you shall find rest for your souls and deliverance from the guilt of a sin-stained conscience, because the blood of Christ prevails over all our enemies and all our foes. You are the Lord's who believe him. Trust him. God has given it to you by his grace, by his Spirit. Thank God and praise him for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.